Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in time for Daily Editorial. Yesterday and today have been probably two of the most important days in the annals of, for lack of better terms, politics in the United States. Got a number of things that are incredibly important that we would really like to get your opinions on. Number one, of course, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who I would support 1,000%. Number two is the whistleblower from the IRS. It'll be interesting if that ever rises to the surface. I'm a little pessimistic simply because I think the Democrats and Joe Biden are pretty strong. From what I saw last night, though, it would appear that the Republicans are simply going for broke right now, and I think they're going to make it. Jim Jordan, I think, is doing a great job, so we're going to see what happens there. A number of very important things going on today. Jimmy, start any place you want.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're right. There are a lot of things going on, and what I've said in the past, and I'll continue to say, that it takes a long time to turn this ship around once it gets in a certain direction, and yes, we've been seeing USS America go in the wrong direction basically for quite a while.
Yep, long time.
And of course, under the Biden administration, it's been rapidly turning into very dangerous waters. What we're seeing now is the blowback from those types of aggressive actions that the Democrats have taken to push their agenda and attempt to control power. And I think that's becoming problematic for them. This IRS whistleblower, the letter that has gone forward to the oversight committees in Congress, is asking for them to protect the whistleblower. They have direct information that shows a cover-up, or at least indicates that the Department of Justice and investigators are ignoring factual information that the IRS has, that some of it is protected by code to not be released, which would be similar to, protecting Donald Trump's tax records that the court finally said, hey, no, it's okay to let go. Well, this is going to Congress saying, hey, we want to protect this whistleblower. We want to show these records and documents and have be approved to be able to show them in spite of existing law. This could be incredibly damaging, as we know the Biden family has been involved in very many financial agreements with foreign powers, in particular the Chinese government, including members of the Chinese Communist Party and senior intelligence officials, and of course in Ukraine and probably in Russia.
You know, speaking of the Ukraine, Jim, I wanted to bring up one thing that was brought up last night on the news numerous times. Apparently, there is an atomic research facility located in Ukraine, owned by the United States. It's been there quite a while, and it's right in the heart of the main battle area in Ukraine. Pretty scary.
Well, okay, so I watched that clip last night,
right?
And I like Tucker Carlson, but Tucker Carlson actually goes off a little bit sometimes to grab attention. In this particular case, the Department of Energy and DOD have given warning, according to the news reporting, given warning to the Russians to not disturb or attack or take the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant because there is sophisticated nuclear technology in that plant.
Yeah.
Now that could mean a number of things, but I will tell you it is very highly unlikely it has anything to do with nuclear weapons.
Why would you say that, Jim?
Because we have very, very strict protocols of how to manage nuclear weapons in the United States. And the overhead that it takes to manage weapon systems like that is significant. They're very limited. I was very involved in the nuclear surety program. I was I actually had trained with the NEST nuclear emergency support team, and with the government contractor that supported the protection of nuclear weapons. You just don't park them in a foreign country's nuclear plant. However, technology that is used to either refine or manage nuclear equipment and a nuclear reactor is incredibly sensitive. And those efficiencies are protected not only by very sensitive patents and other classified, you know, documentation and efforts, but they're also dangerous if misused or mishandled. So my analysis of this problem is that we do have and have provided nuclear technology to the Ukraine nuclear agency in order to be either more efficient or more effective. And they probably are doing research, nuclear research there at the facility. But I don't think it has anything to do with actual nuclear weapons. However, nuclear materials can be used for nuclear weapons, and that's always a question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of one thing after another on this Thursday. It actually started yesterday, Wednesday, you know, on a worldwide basis. You know, I'd like to talk a little bit about the whistleblower situation. I started doing research on this morning because I think it's the closest we'll ever come to getting rid of the president, in the sense that he may end up just resigning as Nixon did, but we'll have to wait and see. In Biden has and the Democratic Party have been very, very clever in the past in terms of getting out of things. And I'm wondering if something hasn't already crossed the news wires today showing that this thing is just not going to go. It'll never see the light of day. Do you think I'm right in that, Jimmy?
No, I think with the House being controlled by Republicans, I guarantee that it's going to see the light of day.
Right.
How accurate, how much of an impact it has is yet to be seen. We don't know what the information is. We're speculating on it. But okay, we do know what the Biden family has done and the relationship with Burisma, the relationship with Chinese energy companies, with Chinese investment companies, with the actual startup that that Hunter Biden did to get approval with the Chinese government for a hedge fund, an investment fund, which was the first ever from an outside company.
Yeah.
These things are pretty interesting. They indicate a long series of illegal or questionable activities, and certainly ones that were not to the best interest of the United States. And we do know what Hunter Biden's done based on his own, you know, examples with the laptop. We know that Joe Biden lied and said he was not involved in the business dealings with his son and other family members.
Right.
So those facts are relevant, but the part that what is most relevant about this particular case is it shows that the White, apparently, according to reporting, and we don't know yet, according to reporting, the White House and the Attorney General's office and the prosecutor have been involved in a cover-up of Biden family activities. And the White House being involved in that would be equivalent to the White House getting involved with covering up the Watergate scandal.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that an aggressive Jim Jordan and a very aggressive and some of these people that have been involved in this for a long time on the Senate side, you know, Chuck Grassley, he's the senior Republican representative on the Judiciary campaign, the ranking member.
Right.
And of course, Ron Johnson, they've been on this for a long time. They have a lot of documentation that they've already put out. And as we get more and we get more whistleblowers, you're going to be forced, when I say you, the media will be forced to report on it. And it was interesting because I've got a buddy staying here with me right now, and he was trying to kind of catch up on what's going on. And he was watching CNN this morning on my television, something I don't normally do. But he's watching CNN, and they were actually reporting on this quite a bit. They were trying to cover and protect for the administrations, which we've seen the mainstream media do quite often. And, of course, Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesidiot, I think many people call her, has come out and said, oh, no, we're very much helping and facilitating and not influencing any decisions on this. But we know The White House has been involved in numerous efforts to silence opposition. We know that the U.S. government has used censorship tactics with the Department of Justice and the FBI to silence opposition, including specifics about the Biden family and the Hunter Biden laptop. My guess is as people begin to see this unravel, it's going to be incredibly damaging and a high probability that Joe Biden will not be able to be the candidate for the Democrats in the 2024 election. And I think that's getting
Jimmy, hang on. What's your rationale behind that statement?
There's just too much pressure. There's too much information behind the scenes. And Biden's polling is so low. The Democratic Party is going to have to swing very rapidly. The longer it takes, and we've talked about this for a long time, I really didn't expect him to last this long. Never expected him to be in office, obviously. But the longer it takes for the Democratic Party to come up with a viable candidate, the less likely of success, the less likely ability to raise the funding, to get support. And of course, with Joe Biden facing these types of allegations, we saw what it did to Donald Trump with the Ukrainian impeachment scandal and then, of course, the January 6th issues. The media has been very protective of the Biden regime. But again, when they have when this evidence comes out, and if it's government evidence from a government whistleblower, it's fairly hard to deny that. So depending on the severity of the cover-up, depending on the amount of information that is released, and apparently there's quite a bit of it, it's going to be very hard for the Democratic Party to support Joe Biden because they'll begin to see a peel-off of their own congressional members because of back home pressure. And that's ultimately what cost Nixon the presidency. You know, he did not have control of Congress. He was a Republican. He was the most popular Republican in presidential history, most popular president in history in his reelection in 1972. But he didn't control the House. He didn't control the Senate. And when he was finally backed into a corner and resigned, it was because the Republicans, who could have protected him, got cold feet and backed away because of the pressure. And what you're liable to see is a very similar effort happen from the Democratic Party as you get more information about what he lied about, more information showing what's gone on behind the scenes with the Department of Justice, with the censorship efforts. People are going to say, wait a second, and then the Democratic Party is going to have to shift away from him and throw him over the, you know, basically as the Republicans did with Richard Nixon. Right. And again, they would have to do that fairly rapidly to get a candidate in as a vice presidential candidate if Kamala Harris was put in as president, which would accomplish a gender role for them. And then that vice presidential candidate could become the candidate, the Democratic nominee. And that's why I look at someone like Gavin Newsom as a possibility. And I don't see a lot of really well-known and respected Democrats that be able to step in and fill that role right now.
The role of Newsom could step into and play.
Correct. He's very still somewhat popular in California. A lot of people absolutely despise him, but it's a huge state, has a huge influence, and he's incredibly popular in the Democratic Party. But he also kind of walks this line of being a California dude. He does a lot of policies that are absolutely progressive, but he makes it appear like, and he's pretty successful with this, appear like, oh, it's just for the best interest of everyone.
Yeah.
So he would appeal to the New York Democrats. He'd appeal to the big urban centers that the Democratic Party requires to win. The problem is they have a continuing bleeding off of blacks and Hispanics from the Democratic Party in the past, and that's going to be a problem. And with someone like Robert Kennedy.
You're talking about specifically in California, Jim?
I'm talking about across the nation.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about a national election.
Okay.
But with Robert Kennedy, you're going to see moderate Democrats probably move more towards him. So he comes out right out the front with a 14-point acceptance rate with Democrats who actually voted for Biden. So that's a huge, huge gain. Now, Nikki Haley has never gone about 5 or 6%. You know, Ron DeSantis is struggling against Trump. He's got, you know, but he's like 20, 30 points behind.
Yeah.
Mike Pompeo had to back away. You know, Chris Christie doesn't have a choice. There's really no one that gets over basically single digits in a primary against Trump, with the exception of DeSantis, and DeSantis has been losing ground. Here you have a guy that steps in on the first day in the Democratic Party to challenge Joe Biden for the he's carrying 14 points, and people don't even know him yet. So this is a very, very important indicator of the direction of moderate Democrats saying, what the heck is going on? I don't like my party anymore. I need to look at someone else. And that will be very destructive for the progressives on the left. And I think they've reached too far. They've done too much damage.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier in your words here about Mike Pompeo, but the thing about him is he came out on the airwaves within the last week and said, after careful consideration, I have decided to not run in this particular campaign.
Yeah, that's what I just said. He backed out.
Yeah.
But he never really got over 3 or 5 points. Mike Pence has never gotten over, you know, 5-6 points in any poll. So I just don't see a candidate that's going to come in and overwhelm Trump. Though it's early in the process, as you said earlier on the show.
Yeah.
Or, you know, before off mic, you know, it's very early. There's a lot of things that can change.
Right.
But right now, it's the Democrats that have the control of the Senate and the White House, and they're going to have to defend. And the more they defend, the more problematic. And again, they're going to have to make some decisions pretty quickly whether or not they can stick with Joe Biden. He'll either have to announce within the next couple of weeks to pull back that support from Robert Kennedy, or they're going to have to say, okay, we're done. We're going to have to move on.
Yeah.
And I speculate, and this is, of course, just my view, that they're going to have to move on because this pressure is going to become more intense. Now, we're going to see the real pressure build in the fall. We're not going to see a lot over the summertime because that's, you know, the media, people are out vacation. They don't care as much. But there's some very significant things that could happen between this summer and, of course, the primary season when it
of course
off
there are yeah
December, January.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would have to agree with you 100% on that, but the one thing that I would say is my guess is common sense tells me, although the Democrats in my opinion aren't particularly known for common sense or haven't shown that certainly as long as we've been doing this, my guess is that they would have to come out a little bit quicker than that. And I would go on and I would say I think, I hate to use this term because it may not be accurate, but I think he's going to be looking at the bottom part of a bus, Jim.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to get I agree with you. I think he's going to get the bus thrown right off and then run over by it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to make some quick moves, and I think they're going to have to do that within probably the next, you know, couple of months. So they could go into a quiet cycle. The problem is there's so many challenges right now, economically in the U.S. with the banking crisis that is only really just beginning, with the Ukraine fiasco, and of course with the competition with China right now. And that's not including the border issues, the crime issues, the violence, and all the craziness that's going on. And of course the Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light commercials.
Well, my personal opinion, that was still in the news last night, but I will tell you my personal opinion at this moment in time is I think this is the perfect opportunity for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I really do. I thought he showed very well. He was a Democrat who was given prime airtime on Fox last night. I think there's a good possibility the country might rally behind Mr. Kennedy. And the reason I would say that is because I think the general population, myself included, are just 100% frustrated with what's going on in our country right now, Jim. I really feel that way.
Well, okay. I think people are going to rally behind him. I just don't think he'll ever have the power to break the Democratic system.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the Democrats have they've got a mafia, basically.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that mafia is incredibly powerful. And
you
we
bet.
Saw that with Bernie Sanders, who really rallied a tremendous amount of troops.
Yeah.
He's not going to, he's not going to gain the type of support that Bernie Sanders did. So no. It'll be very unlikely that the chosen primary, or you know, the chosen anointed one for the Democratic primary, he's going to get past that.
Agreed.
However, what would be very interesting is if he goes ahead and gets, you know, a sizable percentage and goes on based on what you're saying, and I believe many people feel the same way.
Yeah.
In the Democratic Party, at least a percentage of them, that Kennedy runs against him as a Democrat.
Yeah.
Against whoever, and he doesn't get the Democratic nomination, but then is fully prepared and has the funding and support to run as an independent in the general election to get on the different ballots in that case. If he does something like that, then he would be incredibly damaged to the Democratic Party. I still don't believe he will have a chance to win, because Republicans, they may like Robert Kennedy for what he says, but he's also pro-abortion. He also is a Democrat.
Yeah.
He also has many other issues that would make it difficult for him to win the general election, including what I've talked about, is which, you know, the three characteristics that people win elections on. Number one is what they look like.
Right.
Number two is what they sound like. Number three is what's their resume. He's got number one and number three. He looks good. He looks the part, and he actually has a resume.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a resume running any major political party. He doesn't have any influence that way. And he's got this problem with his speech,
it's funny you should say that, because I listened really closely, pardon me, last night. I didn't notice a problem necessarily with his speech, Jim.
Well, you're just going to have to look at – I mean, he has – a physical disability.
Okay.
You could watch numerous events with him speaking. He did well. I will not say he didn't do well. But of course, Joe Biden every now and then, you know, even a blind squirrel gets a nut sometimes. Under pressure and the pressure of a campaign, it's going to be hard. I do think there will be people that rally with him. I do believe he will have an impact on the election. I just don't think he will have the momentum to take, certainly to win a national election against a Republican challenger, especially a former president, if Trump is the nominee.
Jim,
Ron DeSantis, Ron DeSantis does.
Yeah. Jimmy, the speech that President Biden gave last night on the economy was almost Ted Mack's amateur hour, full of gaps, et cetera, et cetera. That speech has got to hurt Biden.
You know, a lot of the media have not talked about it, did not show it, because they are protecting him.
Yeah.
So you would think it would hurt him, but again, there's so many things that should have hurt him, but if he's being protected by global corporations and propaganda outlets like ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and it's becoming quite apparent. And obviously, the numbers are really damaging some of these groups. I think it's very interesting this morning. BuzzFeed has just announced they're going to go ahead and close it. You know, there was a leftist news, progressive news organization. They're actually filing for bankruptcy. The CNN numbers are absolutely dismal. If anybody watched the Don Lemon piece when he was actually at interviewing Vivek Ramaswamy, the Republican candidate, you know, he's running for the Republican nomination. He's a tech guy, very smart, hedge fund guy.
I actually did watch that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was so embarrassing for Don Lemon, and it was so jaded and one-sided.
Yeah.
That's becoming, you know, it's becoming very apparent how far left and progressive, and how willing these news anchors are willing to go to protect their political.
Right.
They're not reporting the news anymore. And that's what's frustrating a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think it's becoming embarrassing. And clearly, people are walking away from that. The numbers are way down for CNN. The numbers, again, for BuzzFeed, they're closing up. Slate, MSNBC's down. They're just losing it. And of course, who's gaining? Fox News.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have a lot of faith in Fox News either, because I just don't think that they – I think they're corporate media and they have an agenda. I think this deal with Dominion, where they went ahead and did not go to trial and they went ahead and settled, was an embarrassment. But I think in part it was a purposeful effort to avoid having to face reality of what they did in the 2020 election to help Joe Biden win by announcing Arizona. I think there would be a lot of information that came out about that, and I think that would undermine their credibility. So they said, okay, we'll take the hit for $785 billion or something like that, and which is unbelievable to me. And then we'll just sacrifice any integrity in media for defending free speech in the future. And that's, I think, a terrible, terrible example. So I don't trust them. No. I don't trust really any media. I trust my eyes, what I read and what I see, but even some of that is skewed and missed. You know, we don't know all. There's too much information out there, and there's a lot of people trying to shape it for their own interests and benefit. And unfortunately, that's the reality we live in.
Pretty stinky reality right now. There's no question about that. Jimmy, let's cut it here. We've been going very close to half an hour. Let's take a look and see what happens at the end of the day.
All right. You take care, Al.
Thanks, Jimmy. Take care, bud.